We appreciate everybody that's here this morning. And we're here. And we can stand before you and tell you we have met together in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last night I asked a question. I asked everybody here that believes this book right here to be the infallible truth, the Word of God. I asked everybody here that believe this Bible to hold up her hand. Do you believe this Bible to be the truth? I want you to hold up your hand if you believe this Bible to be the infallible Word of God. That Word, he said, that was spoken by Almighty God. Every word was written by the inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We don't need anything else but to obey this Word right here. I talked a little bit from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians last night. Something that is called charity. Something that separates the natural man and the natural man and the natural woman from the spiritual man and the spiritual woman. Makes a difference. That separates the lost from God's children. Those who do not follow charity, the Word of God said they're nothing. Don't belong to God, just nothing. And I had hoped that this morning we had taken that to heart. I'd asked the children of God to get behind the Word of God. Now I asked you to do a little more than that. I asked you to get in the Word of God. Get your mind and your heart all wrapped up in God's Word. Because if He says it, it's true. And if He don't say it, then leave it alone. But I also made mention that we have some miracles here today, just waiting to happen. Do you believe that God has got power to take a sinful man whose life is just as degraded as it can be, who has been guilty of almost every sin that you can think of except blaspheming the Holy Ghost? Do you believe God can send His Spirit down and make a move on that man or that woman and cleanse them up and purify them and make them just as pure before God as if they were have never committed a sin in the world? Do you believe God's got that power? Beloved, have you already put limitations on God's power? I want to tell you what. If you want to be a child of God today, God's knocking on your heart. And first, I want to say something that I think I need to say, because I have been in too many services in my lifetime when the Holy Ghost began to move among God's people. And it brings a fear on folks, and it brings condemnation on their sinful life. And too many times I've seen them jump up and run up to the altar and want to pray and just try to get some relief from that condemnation. And when they get up among God's people and they get in the midst of the power of God being rained down, he called it showered of blessings, began to fall on God's people, they feel better. And then they go right back in their own sinful life. I don't want you to do that. I want you to stay quiet until you find out what it's going to take for you to live for God and be a child of God. And when you do that, as he said, I speak unto wise men, consider you what I say. When you do that with a wise mind, you can make a choice whether or not you're going to serve the Lord according to His Word, or whether you're not going to serve Him. If you choose not to serve Him according to His Word, you will remain a child of the devil, of Satan. If you choose to serve God, then he will. There will be something takes place in your life that is, Jesus called it, being born again. Born not of corruptible seed, that's a seed of man, but of incorruptible, of the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I don't want to take up any more time. As we get ready to go into this service, we're going to start this service with a prayer. And And I want to say, if you are a child of God, if you say, "I'm a child of God, I've been born of the Spirit of God," if you say that, either you are or you are a liar. And hell opened its mouth and enlarged itself without measure to consume liars. All liars, the Word of God said it, will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Beloved, either we're following after that Jesus Christ that come down here and lived a life. The Apostle Peter said, left us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Either we're following him or we're not. Amen. And as a child of God, if you can stand up today and say, "I am a child of God," I want to point out the 16th chapter of St. Mark to you, because I'm getting to something here that we're fixing to ask God to do some miracles for us. And when we leave here, I don't want you to think a miracle is going to be everybody in the house shouting. That's not a miracle. Beloved, some of the worst hypocrites you ever saw shouts. 16th chapter of Mark, the Great Commission. When Jesus, after he had died, hung on the cross, suffered the humiliation, all the pain, the agony, shed his blood for you and me that we might have a right to eternal life. The only thing God could find when he searched above the heaven, the earth, beneath the earth and the earth itself, the only thing he could find that could bring that kind of salvation to mankind. Beloved, I'm not here playing games. Brother Rusty, you know I'm not trying to win any popularity contest, because this is too important. 16th chapter of Mark. He lined those boys up. I hope he had them in line. He'd been walking here with them for about 3 years. He had been teaching them the Word of God. He'd been teaching them not to try to live the Word of God in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense, living it from their heart rather than from their mouth. He was crucified. He was buried. Third day he rose from the dead. And he appeared to them on many different occasions. But the last time he appeared, he said, "Now go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, if you will remember, before that time, he didn't send them to all the world. He sent them only to the Jewish people. Folks think this holiness religion is a Gentile religion. No, this holiness religion is a Jewish religion. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus came unto his own. And when his own rejected him and wouldn't receive him, he gave anybody that would receive him the power to become the children of God. So now, while he was walking with them and before he was crucified, he said, "Don't go you into the ways of the Gentiles. Don't even enter into any city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And they went. And he gave his people power to cast out devils. Beloved, has the devil got a hold of you so bad that you can't behave yourself? Shows on your face. Shows in your conversation. Shows in the kind of literature you read. Shows in the kind of movies you watch on television. Beloved, has the devil got control of your life? Somebody said, "You talking about me?" I'm talking about me about 50-something years ago. Listen, I can tell you, I know this salvation that I'm talking to you about is real, because on July the 29th, 1951, right up the road here, up until that time, I couldn't behave myself a week to save my life. But I went down before this God that I'm talking to you about, and I knelt down there, and I cried out to him because I knew I couldn't live the right kind of life. And after about 3 days and nights of praying, and on the fourth night, there was something happened. I had a heart transplant. First, you know, the old boy down in Africa several years ago did a heart transplant. That was a first. Now, God had already done a whole bunch of them. He said, I'll take away your heart of flesh, and your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. A heart, he said, and then I'll write my laws into your heart. And in your minds will I write them, and your sin and iniquity will I remember no more. Beloved, do you know what it means for God to make a move in your life and not ever remember thee? Thank God, not ever again remember the sins that you have committed. Do you know what that means? You don't have any idea what kind of joy that can bring to your life. It means in the sight of God, it's just like it never happened. God said he'll put it over there in a place called a sea of forgetting. He'll just forget them. So you don't have to keep, every time you pray, saying, Lord, forgive me of my many sins, beloved, because God might stop you and say, which ones are you talking about? Are you talking about one that you committed since I forgave them? That gets serious then, because he says, if you do that, well, that's a serious matter. But now, beloved, he told them, says, y'all go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you heal the sick. Somebody said, well, I can't heal anybody. You can if you'll get over there where God wants you. We got some miracles here today. I want them to happen today. I've seen a few. Not boasting about it, I've just seen them, and I guess I am boasting in God, because he's the one that does it, and he does it through the hands of his obedient children. He don't do it through the hands of his quarrelsome people. He don't do it through the hands of those that are falling after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. He don't do it by the hand of those who is scattering discord among the neighborhood. He does it through the hand of his people. He gave those people power to heal the sick, cast out devils, give the sight back to the blind, cause the cripple to walk. Amen. And you know what? They went out and they come back, and boy, they were really overjoyed. They were just rejoicing. Lord, even the spirits are subject to us through your name. Jesus said, rejoice not because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice rather because your name is written in heaven. Oh, thank God. That old boy up here somewhere, sitting over there, I believe I'll tell on him. He went back there one time. He left church, and he prayed in the altar, and then he went home. He went back in the back room, and he started praying again. And he just kept on praying. You want to get somewhere with God, keep on praying. He just kept on praying. Lord, come into his life. Holy Ghost, come into his life. There are certain things that evident God puts on people to prove where he's at. Oh, I guess by 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It's early in the morning. His wife got worried about him. He's still back there in the back room, bedroom, just calling on God. So I decided to go over and visit him, and I went in. Sounded like a good place to be to me. Finally, I got to talking with him. He says, I said, tell me, what are you looking for? He said, I see people that has a great joy, says, I'm wanting that joy. I said, what's it going to take for you to have that joy? Remember that, brother? Now, I ain't going to point anybody out. I don't want to embarrass them, but he stopped and thought about it a little bit. I said, reckon if you knew your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you knew your name is written in the Lord's Book of Life, and that you have a title, you have a deed to eternal life, you know what he said? He said, that'll do it. Thank God. That'll do it, beloved. How about you? It brought great joy, and that joy don't go to sleep. Themselves when their good old mother or good old daddy dies. You know who they are. They're just as rotten a sinner as you can find. Just can't stand the torment anymore. And you know, I had my mother, dad died when she was a little baby. Just little feller. She had twin brothers. And she raised them like a mother to them. My mother got old. Those twin boys got old. One of them died with a heart attack. Suddenly. The other one was a Baptist preacher. Well, now the Baptist preacher wasn't a twin, but it was three of the little boys. But anyway, he come toddling in. We went over to my mother's house, told her what had happened. And my Uncle Johnny, he come toddling in. He was old. And it looked like the grief was so heavy on them that they just couldn't bear it. Just seemed like they couldn't bear it. Says, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to kneel down right here in the floor and we're going to pray for you. Because there is something that is called the Comforter. St. John 14:26, he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray for you that God will send his Comforter on you. And we knelt down and prayed. And when we prayed, the sorrow left them. And then they felt bad because they didn't feel sorrowful. It grieved them. They didn't know what had happened to them. And one of the sisters, my sister was there, and she went over and says, now, don't feel bad because you can't feel sorrow, because God just moved the sorrow from you. Beloved, it is sorrowful when you lose someone. But those people that have been better to their families, when that loved one passes away, that Holy Ghost will comfort their hearts. And I've seen that hundreds of times. Now, Jesus told those people, don't you rejoice because that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is where my joy is today. It don't matter what we go through with between here and there. It's when we get there that counts. Now, Christ crucified, buried, rose again the third day, walked with his disciples again, talked with them, appeared to them, and finally, in the 16th chapter of Mark, he did what is called the Great Commission. He says, now go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Brethren, the gospel is not what you heard on television this morning. I run through there, and what I heard was sent from the other place. Preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Do you still believe the word of God? Or you kind of began to put some a few doubts in there. I'm fixing to turn over there and read it just because I can quote it. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This is a line of distinction that Jesus has drawn for you and me as intelligent human beings. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's strong language. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Somebody said, well, we don't need that anymore. We need it worse today than we ever have. The devil has got more hands. Listen, the word of God said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits and wickedness in high places. Beloved, it reaches all the way up to the top offices in our nation. And our nation, the authorities of our nation, is doing everything they can. They're moving as fast as they can to make this a nation of devils and not of Christians. They're passing laws to protect so-called gay people, which is a misnomer. Their right name for them are sodomites. God's law is that they die the death. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Lot? The people in Sodom and Gomorrah had a legal right, evidently, to roam the streets all hours of the night, practice their degraded lifestyle to the place where it was dangerous for an angel of God to walk on the street. And our government is making it exactly like that today. And I saw on the news last night, I believe, where same-sex marriage was legal in America. God hates it. God said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's the way it was in the days of Lot. Somebody said, well, we don't know when that day is coming. No, Lot didn't know exactly when the time would be, but he knew when the angel says, you get out of this town because I'm fixing to destroy it. And he started dragging around, trying to round up a bunch of unbelieving kids that had been in that rotten, low-down, sorry, sinful, deviled hole so long until they had been corrupted by it and began to follow that lifestyle, and they began to drag back. Beloved, what kind of lifestyle are you following today? They began to drag back. They were going, they wouldn't leave. Beloved, and the angel of God rushing, saying, get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. I can't do anything as long as you're here. Why? He was a preacher of righteousness. That man had carried his wife and children into a rotten place like that and lost his whole family. And you know what he did? He ended up bringing forth a generation of people that there is no peace in that part of country today because of it. Amen. Yes, he knew when the time was coming, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Noah? They were eating and drinking. They were married and they were given in marriage and knew not till the flood came and took them away. How was it in the days of Noah? Somebody come to me the other day. Boy, I'll get somebody all bent out of shape with this one. But somebody come to me a while back says, can you take the Bible and prove interracial marriage is a sin? Well, that gets everybody quiet, don't it? No, I can't just read the Bible and say interracial marriage is a sin. But I can tell you one thing. interracial marriage, people marrying outside of the family that they were supposed to marry into, the kind of people they were supposed to marry into. When they did that, all the trouble that was brought upon the world. And if you just think what the Word of God said, I believe it's the 6th chapter of Genesis, says when the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and saw that they were fair, and they took unto themselves wives of all whom they chose, and the imagination of men's heart become evil continually. And God said it repented God that he had made man, and he said it grieved him in his heart, and he said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Somebody said, well, you didn't say it was a sin. No, but he said, as it was in the days of Lot, of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's exactly where we're at today. Brethren, don't think I'm a bigot. Don't think I'm racial something. I'm simply saying, if you are a child of a good in a good Christian home, don't go out there looking in the devil hole to find a decent wife or a decent husband. Amen. You go out there and find the kind of people that will agree with a good, holy standard of living, a right standard of living, and your children will grow up to be the right kind of people. Beloved, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's how it was in the days of Noah. Somebody said, well, how did he know? Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. God made a covenant. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and God made a covenant with him. He looked down there and he saw the whole world had done in such a way till God's heart was grieved. He was sad. He was sorry that he had actually created man. Why? Because he had made man in his own likeness, in his own image. He had made man to reflect him. Love, purity, holiness, beloved. And it grieved God to see the fallen state that man had gone into. And he said, I'll destroy him from the face of the earth. But he looked around and there was one man. Beloved, you think there's just a few holiness folks in the world? It's a whole lot more than it was just one man. Yeah. One man, a preacher of righteousness. He said, I'll make a covenant with him. And you know what he said? The end of all flesh has come before me. Everybody in the world, all flesh in the world, has come before me. He said, and man is but flesh. Man is but flesh. And yet shall his days be 120 years. No, you got 120 years to complete this ark that I'm telling you how to build. And in 120 years from now, the world is going to be deluged with water. Water is going to cover the face of the earth, and every living thing that breathes air is going to die. So he knew what year it was coming. I've heard all these false preachers get up and preach all how that Noah was getting his ark built and preaching to the folks and saying, if you don't repent, you're going to be destroyed. Uh-uh. Their doom was sealed already, and there was no repentance left for them. There comes a time, beloved, when you seal your own doom. Noah had preached righteousness until God says 120 years from now every living human being upon the face of this earth is going to die. But with you I'll make my covenant. You build an ark. And he told him how to build it. You know what? It was an atheistic type fella come up to me the other day and it started telling me how, you know, all that wasn't true. Wasn't any of that true. I looked at him a little bit, and a politician had just come down from talking to our governor, and he had come in and was trying to tell me about their conversation, and this guy kept interrupting. I finally told the politician, I said, this man right here has already talked so much, till nothing he says will I regard. I won't believe a word this man tells me. The Bible calls you a fool. I don't believe you. Don't want anything to do with you. He got up and started to leave. He said, well, tell me how you got all them animals in that ark. I said, that's not my responsibility. But I can tell you exactly what's going to happen to the fellow that don't believe he did it. Guess what happened? Next day, the Lord chastised me a little. You might ought not call the old boy a fool. I said, well, Lord, I want you to help him. I remember the Apostle Paul said, I did many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Which things, he said, I verily thought I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus, which things I did. But I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. So I said, maybe that old boy is just an ignorant unbeliever. So I asked God to help him. All right, 2 weeks later, the old boy is in serious trouble and he's down there wanting me to help him. Might not believe God, but he knows the difference in dealing with a child of God and one that's not. Beloved, as it was in the days of Lot. Going to be 120 years, all of you going to be destroyed. Lot entered in to the ark and was saved. Now, beloved, this is where we're at. Eating, drinking, married, giving in marriage, indiscriminate marriages, so-called gay movement, which, as I said before, is a misnomer. All of this is prevalent in this country that has on their dollar bill, in God we trust. I just wonder how long that'll stay on there. Not very long. As soon as they get under control of this thing just right, it'll go into something else. But, beloved, now we come back to Jesus after he had died. Given the last order to his ministers while he was upon the face of this earth. Hadn't been back again, by the way. He said, now go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Guess what? You've heard some of the gospel already, a whole lot more than I meant to say. Unto every creature. You see, I'm not a racist or something like that. I've been down in Central America. I talked to Mayan Indians. They couldn't understand a word I was saying. So finally I picked up one of their Bibles, and I could determine where I was talking from. So I just walked around among them, run my finger under the scripture and quoted it in English and held it out to them and let them read it to each other as I went around. It don't matter. I don't care what color they are. Beloved, he said, any ever creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Do we still believe the word of God? Have some of us kind of backslid already? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. This is the one, Sister Gert, I want you to get a hold of right now. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, what good is a sign if there's not any recovering done? What good does it do to lay hands on somebody if there's not any recovering done? The sign is God's people puts his hand on them, they recover. On the television, those people put their hand on them and they fall out on the floor. The Apostle Paul, giving a charge to the church at Galatians, said, I marvel that you have so soon removed from him that called you unto another gospel. From the true gospel unto another gospel, though there be no other. But there are some that would trouble you and would pervert the right way of God. But he said, though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel or any other doctrine other than that which we have preached unto you in the beginning, let him be accursed. Beloved, I ask folks, show me in the word of God where the Apostle Paul went out there and laid his hand on folks, and instead of them being healed, they just fell out on the floor. had a bunch of people around there. Listen, I want to declare unto you, there is a devil in this land, beloved, and he is the greatest mocker there ever was. But the word of God said, be ye not deceived, God is not mocked. Now, after having said all this, I'm going to just read another verse or two of Scripture here, because I think it's getting about time. I think right over here, we count them joy, we count them happy, which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. But above all things, my brethren, swear not. Neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. I go to court every once in a while on people. I made mention of it last night. They want me to go down there as a character witness, or sometimes people wanting to get their Social Security started. Occasionally I get called to court. A while back, judge says, raise your right hand. I says, judge, can I make a statement? You going to be a witness in this case? I didn't answer. I didn't know whether I was or not, because I wasn't about to raise my right hand and take an oath. And he kind of acted like he wanted to charge me with contempt of court. I was in contempt already. I was in contempt of what he was doing. But I wouldn't answer him. And finally, the attorney got up and says, what Mr. Brown wants to tell you is he won't take an oath. He'll testify to the truth. Beloved, we got people sitting on the judge's bench that is as rotten as the devil himself. So don't you think you'll get judgment in the judgment seats every time. Now listen. If any man is any... I got to tell this before I read this, and then we're going to go on into the service. Sister Dolores sitting back there, and she can tell you this is exactly the way this happened. One night many years ago, I was dreaming. I was in my bed, just as comfortable as I could be, and I was having a beautiful dream. It was beautiful. Boy, it's good to have beautiful dreams. I used to have some torment in them. But this was a beautiful dream. And in my dream, I had walked up to a place that was the most beautiful place I had ever seen in my life. And there was a place right over, I was facing it, brother, and it was right over to my right, looking to my right side. I looked at that place and I thought, as a matter of fact, I thought out loud. I actually said the words, Lord, this is where I want to live forever. And there was a voice that spoke to me, and I recognized the voice because he was a friend of mine, and he was a good holiness preacher. And he said, Brother Melvin, you can't have this one, that's mine. And I turned around and I looked at him, and it was Brother Jack, Sister Dolores' husband. And I said, well, Brother Jack, can I have that one right over there next to you? He said, you can have that one. I tell you this because she's sitting back here and because this thing is not coincidence. And I stood there and I watched him walk in to the most beautiful place I'd ever laid eyes upon. And it wasn't, I've been to some places where there was buildings, if they were built in this country, would cost billions of dollars, I guess. And it was nothing to compare to that place that he walked into. And I was standing there looking, and the telephone rang. And it was Sister Dolores calling me, Brother Melvin, Jack just got killed. Somebody said that was a coincidence. I tell you something. When you become a child of God, the more you pray, the more coincidence you're going to see. I just had to tell that. God's got a mansion for you. He's got it fixed already. He said, and if I prepare it for you, he said, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself. Now he's standing on the outside. He's knocking at your heart. He is telling you, hey, now listen, right now you begin to get into a warfare. You see, your natural mind, the natural mind, lust is against the Spirit of God, argues against him, tries to rationalize against the things of the Spirit. He said, you can't do things that you would. Now I want to go on to the children of God. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Listen close to me, because this is what I wanted to get to. Do you have an affliction upon you? Don't think for one moment that the children of God is going to pray that affliction off of you until you pray. You got to do some praying. Is there any afflicted among you? Let him pray. So if you're afflicted, look toward the throne of God. I don't want to sound like these folks that tell you how to pray, but the first thing you're going to have to do if you're a sinner is do just like the old man in the temple, heavy laden with his sins. Put his hand upon his chest. Said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's his first prayer. God said he went away justified. Is any of you afflicted? Ask God to have mercy on you, a sinner. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he goes on and tells about old Elijah. He said, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it rained not upon the earth, and it rained not upon the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave forth rain. We have examples, beloved, but now it is time for us to ask God just to do some healing. Brethren, I want to say, if I am a child of God, I have a responsibility not to recite some pretty prayer, but to have an effectual, fervent prayer before God. You got some problems in your life. Listen, I'm looking over a congregation, and it's amazing, but I guess I know about 90% of everybody here. And I know every one of us have problems. But beloved, you got some that you can't do anything about, you don't think, but you can. You got some that you just don't think there's anything. First thing, we call that affliction. Somebody said, oh, I thought affliction was a broke arm or bursitis or something. No, affliction is trouble that's upon you. Whether it's a crippling affliction, or whether you're in bondage to Satan and his devices, you might even be tied up in a marriage that you are afflicted in, and because you're got too much pride, or you're too self-willed or something, you won't humble yourself down and get down in the will of God, God's going to let you be destroyed in it. You see, either we're going to obey God or we'll be destroyed. That's all it is to it. Brother Keith, you know I'm not going to win any popularity contest, but we're here because God said be here. Now, I have a responsibility. You brethren, every one of you have a responsibility as we gather around this altar to pray. We have some people here that's afflicted. We have other folks that their home is afflicted. Satan is sitting on the throne. He is running the members of his own family, people's own family. He's destroying them with his conniving and his sinful ways. Beloved, that's an affliction. I'm going to ask God as we gather around. Brother, stand up with me. Give me some support here. I'm going to ask God, if you won't loose, I want you to walk up here to this altar and stand with us. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's something vexing to move in this altar, brethren, that you might have never felt in your life before. And you might run out of here screaming, and that's all right with me. But I've seen a whole lot more go out rejoicing than I have seen run out screaming. Beloved, listen to me. If you want God to begin to make a move in your life, walk up here and stand with us in this altar. Don't try to pass judgment on what's going on. God's going to be doing work. All we're going to do is go before God in prayer. Little Sister Tina, where you at? Come on up here. What the Word of God just tell us do, brethren? He said, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Can you get over in the na-na-na-na-na-na-na? Woo! Glory to God. Where's the oil? We're going to set it right down here. Any of the rest of you folks, you want God to make a move in your life, come on up here. I don't care if it's your first time here. God knows where you're at. Thank God. Come on around, sister. They tell me you got an affliction. You saw God just about 3 weeks ago will heal a man instantly of cancer. So we don't doubt at all. You God's child. And we're going, Jesus, in your holy name, Lord Jesus, we look to you, Lord. Glory to God is the author and the finisher of eternal faith. Glory to God. Thank God. Glory to God. Thank God. Father, glory to God. Bless your name. Oh, Lord Jesus, bless your holy name, Lord. Let your healing come, Lord, to the glory of God. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Glory to God. Bless your worthy name. Thank God. Father, glory to God. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, in your holy name, Lord. Father, in your holy name, Lord Jesus. And according to that merciful name, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, they that believe in your name. Jesus, in the holy name of Jesus, I anoint this sister, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God, Lord. Oh, God, we praise your holy name, Lord. Bless your name. Thank God. Glory to God. Father, we praise your name. Glory to God. Hallelujah to God. Bless your name. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Bless your name. Glory to God. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Oh, God. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Glory to God. Bless your holy name. Thank God. Praise your name. Thank the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we go. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Glory to God. Father, glory to God. Thank the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Jesus, in your holy name, we anoint this sister. Glory to God. Bless your name. Father, glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, glory to God. Father, we praise your holy name. Glory to God. Bless your name. Thank God. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, let the healing powers of you deal now, Lord, to the glory of God. Praise the name of our God. Praise your holy name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I beg of you that every bit of this, Lord, will be moved from her body, Lord. Glory to God. And that the Spirit, Lord God, will begin to move, Lord. Glory to God in your healing power. That virtue, Lord, that you said was in your body, Lord. Glory to God. That went out, Lord, so many years ago and healed, Lord. Oh, God, we beg of you for that power, Lord, to move down to the glory of God. Glory to God. Bless your worthy name. Thank God. Hallelujah to God. Bless your name. Praise the name of our God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Whoa, God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Blessed Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the good Lord. Glory to God. Thank God. God bless her, Lord. God bless her heart. Thank God. God, we want you to glory to God. Thank God. Bless your glory to God. Thank God. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Father, we praise your holy name. Glory to God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Thank God. We're waiting right now because somebody else is here and you know how you feel, but we just want you to obey God. If you want to come up here, we'll pray for you. God bless her heart. God bless her heart. We thank you, Jesus. Bless your worthy name. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise your holy name. She needs you, Lord. And we ask you, Jesus, to look down in your tender mercies upon her, Lord. Oh, God. Well, glory to God. Thank God. Let your blessing be upon her, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Let her heart, oh, Lord God, submit yourself to you, Lord, in the love of you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. For your tender mercies, Lord God, your loving kindness, we pray, Lord. Bless your holy name. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Well, glory to God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, glory. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord Jesus. Jesus, Lord. Let your power to you, Lord. Whoa, God, we thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants to come into your life, sister. You know.
The devil has such a terrible hold on me.
Just ignore the devil right now. Look up yonder, and in your mind, you remember something. Jesus went and hung on the cross. And you know what he's telling you to do? Come to that cross. And look up there on that cross, Jesus hanging there. And if he could loose one of his hands, you know what he'd do? He'd reach out and say, come to me. Come to the... Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, thank God. Thank the Lord. Bless you. God help us. Well, glory. Well, glory to God. Thank God. Praise your holy name. Thank the Lord. Oh, God. Praise the Lord. Lord's wanting to come into your life, sister. He is. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
I have the worst affliction here. I'm out in order by coming up here.
Come on. Brethren, come on, children. No, brethren, come on in. Thank God. Holy Father, oh God, let this affliction be moved from him. You know, Lord God, his need. And you know why he's here, Lord. Glory to God. And we pray, oh God, that your hand will be upon him, Lord. Let your spirit, Lord, to search it out, yea, the deep things of the heart, Lord, and go down to the joints and to the marrow of the bone, Lord, and is a discerner of the thoughts of the heart, Lord. Oh God, move this, Lord, that is a hindrance unto him, Lord, and let your glorious light begin to shine, Lord, within his heart and soul, Lord. Let the doors of glory to God of his heart be open unto you, Lord. Well, Father, glory to God, that the healing of you, Lord, will heal, Lord, glory to God, from these afflictions. Oh, God, and put a freedom inside his soul, Lord, that he can come to you, Lord God, and rejoice in the freedom of you, Lord. Whoa, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Blessed Jesus. Holy Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise the Lord. The Lord is not through just yet. Eyes hadn't seen, nor ears heard, the things that the Lord has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. How'd he do that? Hebrews 10. He said, if you have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if you just tasted of what heaven is going to be like in eternal life, he said, you become partakers of the Holy Ghost. Would you like to have the Holy Ghost tonight, today? I'm going to tell you, brethren, I don't think we need to drag this service. I don't think we need to even hinder what God's doing. You're here. You want to come back to service. I'm going to ask you to do something. I think the sister's got dinner fixed back there. Some of the brethren might have helped in it. Sisters did most of it. We will invite everybody to go back and eat with us. Talk with us. You want to talk with me about anything, or this Brother Miller right here, and I just got in all in his way and kept him from talking. But I come to church this morning just thanking God that he was going to be here, because I said, Lord, if you don't give me anything to do, I don't have to do anything. I'll just sit over there and be quiet. But, beloved, if you want to talk to Brother Miller or myself or any of the brethren, if you got any problems, I'm going to tell you what we're going to tell you. We're going to tell you, repent of your sins and God will straighten them out for you. we might go into the details just a little better, because you might have had such a mess made out of your life already that you're going to have to bear some things the rest of your life. But beloved, if you're going to be a child of God, you're going to obey God from your heart. And we'll take up as much time as we need to talk with you. We'll do anything we can do. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We ask God to go with you and help you. But we want you to be with us. Come around and find out. Folks think holiness people are a bunch of crooks and a bunch of snobs and things like that. Well, we're not that at all. We might have a few of them among us, but they're not children of God. They're the tares that snuck in. Alright, we dismiss. I want to ask everybody in the house to stand with us. I want you to ask God's blessing on this revival that is going to begin. We're going to begin, or it's already began, but it's going on, the Lord willing, through this week. Last time I was up here at a revival, I had to leave revival twice to go back to Alabama for funerals. Finally, just didn't come back. But I don't believe that's going to happen this time. But beloved, if it does happen, God's going to be right here. And if you need deliverance, I don't care if you're hooked on dope to the place where you can't stand it. I'm going to tell you this. A while back, I was on the Indian reservation, and dope one hardly as bad didn't seem to me like as it is in Memphis, Tennessee. It just didn't seem like it was that bad down on that Indian reservation. But I felt like, just mentioning them, if you're hooked on dope and you want to get loose from it, God can loose you from it. And I saw an old Indian boy back there. He just started sliding down, just slid down behind the benches. Just conviction just covered him over. Beloved, God don't mean for you and me to be enslaved with anything. He don't mean for us. God wants us. He said he come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Is the white life you live in, can you call it an abundant life? One other thing. Brother Winston had a crew of men. And I surprised them one time in the motel room, and I went in to see them a long time ago. They were sitting around, laying around in the bed, room full of smoke. I'm going to describe something. I'm going to ask you, brother, do you think this could have been a place where God's children was? Room full of smoke, beer bottles, liquor bottles sitting all over the place. And I went in and I sat down beside of them, and I started telling them about the Lord and his goodness. One of them laying over there with a cigarette in his hand and a bottle about that high, sitting on the bedstand beside of him. He said, I'd like to change my life, but said, I'd have to quit everything that I have any pleasure in. I said, well, tell me, what would you have to quit to become a child of God? He said, I'd have to quit that. Pointing toward that bottle, I said, yeah, you would. He said, I'd have to quit these cigarettes. I said, that'd be good too. I said, what else would you have to quit? You know what? He couldn't think of anything else he'd have to quit. Enslaved with nicotine and alcohol. Miserable life. Conscience bothered him till he had to drink himself to sleep at night. And then drag around the next day stinking like a skunk. Just dragging, can't wait to get back in the motel room and drink himself to sleep again. And that's what he's going to have to give up. I said, well, just answer one question for me. Which of these things you're going to have to give up can you describe as being joy unspeakable and full of glory? Tears started rolling down that old boy's cheeks. He said, I have never known anything like that. I was over there where he's at. Just 4 days and nights of seeking God, and I got over here where I'm at. And you know something?
Glory to God.
When the Holy Ghost come down from heaven, cleaned me up, forgave me of all that, and give me power to live a Christian life, I knew what joy was. And I knew that even what he's calling joy was sorrow and misery. Beloved, God loved you enough till he did something that you wouldn't do if you love your children like I love mine. He went and took his only begotten son, and he said, I'm going to send him down there. And he paid your price for your sins. Don't take that lightly. He did it. He paid your price for your sins. Are you willing to accept that atonement? Think it over. Come back to service with us tonight and listen to the Word of God, and above all things, obey the Word of God. We're going to ask Brother Rusty up there to dismiss us there in a song.